So before we even get into this, I just need to tell you that I just described Hoshi to one of my friends who she's trying to decide who her 17 bias is. And my exact description was, he is the perfect cross between a demon and a hamster. And I don't think I've ever described anything more accurately in my life.
He is.
So that's what Hoshi is.
But he's not a demon hamster.
He's not. He's just a cross between the two. Yes. Because you have moments that you look at him and his cheeks and his eyes and he's smiley and cute.
Yes.
And then he just like flips a switch and he is one of the kings of duality.
Deep up boy.
Hey everybody, welcome to K-Pop Parade. This is the podcast where we discuss all things K-pop, including comebacks, debuts, controversies, and as many aspects of K-pop that we can fit into an episode without boring you. So my name is Trinity.
And my name is Abby.
And we are going to be your K-Pop Parade hostesses. This first episode, we are going to do, we're just going to discuss
who
we are, what got us into K-pop. We're going to talk about our alt groups, our alt biases, and then talk about our top five favorite K-pop songs of all time, which is the most difficult decision you will ever have to make in your life.
I want someone else to go do this. Like everyone who's listening, you need to go and be like, oh, I'm going to go pick my top five. And then you need to sit and then you need to struggle and cry as we have done. And it's hard.
Suffer as we have suffered.
And I never want to do it again.
We originally had planned to do 15 each and then had to whittle that down. And that was the biggest struggle, honestly.
I feel like I betrayed like all of them by cutting
them. The biggest mood.
Yes.
Like I feel horrible about just staring at my list with like songs crossed off of it. I'm still second guessing myself right now.
Hashtag I love you, XO. I'm sorry.
So then we're also going to just do a quick list quick hits of September comebacks that happened, and then we're going to discuss October comebacks that we are most stoked about.
Mm-hmm.
So first things first, Abby, let's talk about what got you into K-pop.
Okay, I got into K-pop because of the show Boys Over Flowers. It was on Netflix back in the day, and I binged watched that entire show in a week. And if you've seen it, you know how crazy that is because
it's
there
so
are
excessive.
At least 100 episodes. It's wild.
Everything I could never finish
from
it.
The girl kissing her boyfriend's best friend on their own private island to him trying to get out of an arranged marriage by having his best friend break his arm, like behind the altar, to her getting kidnapped in his place and then beaten with a chair and then mourning the loss of her swimming career.
Jesus Christ.
It's absolutely bonkers. And the whole time, I will admit that I was a second male lead fan. I still firmly believe that she made the wrong choice, but I digress. I figured since I liked the show so much that I'd listen to that pre-made playlist on Spotify, you know, the one you had to search for back in the day because there was only one and nobody listened to it yet. The first song I ever fell in love with was Lightsaber by EXO because I absolutely love Star Wars and I thought my boyfriend at the time would like it too. I figured I branched out slowly from there. And now I'm here, wherever this is.
Here we are. Who are your alt groups?
My alt groups are EXO, BTS, and Mamamoo, because Hwasa can step on me, and it's fine.
Yep. I mean, I always say Hwasa could, like, I could be laying on a bed of nails, and she could step on me in stilettos, and I would just tell her, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my old idols are Kyungsu from EXO and Suga from BTS. And yes, before anybody says anything, I definitely have a type, and they're usually very grumpy and Ravenclaw.
What do you do outside of K-pop?
I am a lab assistant at a hospital in my town, and I phlebotomize people for fun.
Blood,
as you aptly mentioned, I am married, and I have 3 dogs, none of which are named after idols. But
that's probably healthy.
Is it? Are we that?
Do sometimes.
Do we qualify as that?
Sometimes, mm-hmm. I guess.
What about you? How did you get imprisoned in this life?
Imprisoned is a great way of describing it because there's no escaping it. I got into it. So it was 2013, actually, and there was a YouTube channel whose name I will not mention for copyright reasons, where YouTubers would watch videos and then give their reactions to them. And at the time, I was very big in the YouTube community. Like, I had a bunch of YouTubers I was a big fan of. I saw some of them in this video, and I said, huh, I guess I'll watch that. And clicked in for the YouTubers and stayed for the K-pop. The first video I ever saw was Fantastic Baby by Big Bang. And my initial reaction was, I have no idea what in the hell I am watching, but I really love it.
And that's solid first generation of K-pop too.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. And then the second one was I Got a Boy by a Girls' Generation. And God, it was so good. And it ended up being the first K-pop song that I bought. And then just purchased a whole bunch of Girls' Generation. I had Run Devil Run. I had The Boys, Chocolate Love, all on iTunes, RIP iTunes.
RIP.
I started to listen to Girls' Generation radio on Pandora, also RIP Pandora. I just fell out of it. I was still very, very much in my One Direction phase because they were still a thing at the time. And then about a year later, I had a friend who posted something about K-pop on her Facebook timeline. And I was like, hey, those are those guys that I liked from that one time. And she started to kind of fill me in on how you pick a bias and what comebacks are. But One Direction was still a thing. So I still was not bought into the whole K-pop thing. Fast forward to 2016, I was trying to figure out what to get my friend Sydney for Christmas. And she had let me borrow her car one day, and her stepmom was driving me to a doctor's appointment. And she said something along the lines of, she's really into this K-pop group called EXO. And I thought to myself, I remember barely enough about K-pop to get by to figure out what to get her for Christmas. And so I texted her and I said, Sydney, you like EXO? I didn't know you like K-pop. And she was like, you like K-pop too? And I listened to enough of Big Bang's newest album and actually was like, okay, this is actually really good. And we ended up having a conversation and I was just trying to tell me who her bias of EXO was so that I could get her something with his name on it for Christmas. Turns out it was Jungdae. And then
Jin.
And she was finally like, you have to watch the Monster video. And I was like, I am not going to get out of this. Like, I have to do this for her. So she's, you know, she continues the conversation with me. So I know what to get her for Christmas. Ended up falling head over heels in love with EXO. Monster sent me on this whole spiral. I would take my laptop to work so that I could watch EXO next door while I was at work. And I would just binge EXO music videos. And here we are,
and here
almost
we are.
3 years later.
Lord, where are we?
Where
I don't know where we are.
I get lost sometimes.
Who are your alts then?
So my alt groups are, see, it's hard because I always want to say EXO, even though I feel like I'll always have a soft spot for them, but I just don't think they're one of my alt groups anymore. They're just too inconsistent, and that makes me really sad to say.
Yeah.
But definitely NCT, all the subunits, all the members, love me some NCT.
All 36,000 of them.
OT21, Wavy, Dream, U, 127, all of it. I'm here for it.
It's not
all.
NCT.
I will fight. I will fight. Don't get me started on this tangent right now. Because I will go on for hours about Wavy and NCT. Then definitely Pentagon, and then BTS. I'm going to say those are my top three.
Okay.
My alt idols, I have four of them. Started out as one of those people that was like, you can only have one alt. That's the whole meaning of the word alt. And then I just have so much love.
Right. I'm sure Seon feels very betrayed.
He, you know, I'm sorry, Seon. I really am. Like, I am. I really did love him. And then life happened and Lee Taeyong of NCT happened. And then Yeonhan from Pentagon happened.
Mm.
And then J-Hope happened.
Mm.
And then Kun from Wavy happened.
That's more than four.
That's four. No, Taeyong, Yeonhan, J-Hope and Kun.
And Seon? Or
no, he's not. I don't hate him, Jesus. He's just not on my alt list.
Demoted.
God, the day I made the decision, though, back when I was still on my one, and I made the decision that it was going to be Taeyong and not Seon, I felt like I had just stabbed myself in the chest. Like, I felt like I had stabbed my own heart, but there was just no, I couldn't help it. The ult had changed, and the ult had changed way before I ever admitted that it had changed, too. I had just been fighting it for so long. That's just, like I said, too much love to give. And so, outside of K-pop, I am an office manager for a dental office.
The teeth.
I manage your teeth. And then I also paint. I am a mother to a potato.
Yes.
And by that I mean an actual human child, but Abby refers to him as a potato.
Because that's what it is.
He is three. He is past his potato stage.
And what, and now he's a baked potato?
He's a tater tot.
I mean, he does kind of look like a tater tot.
Yes, and so that's me. That is me inside and outside of K-pop. From here, let's go ahead and transition into our top five K-pop songs of all time. We had a criteria for this. One, it had to be K-pop.
Right. It couldn't be Japanese. It couldn't be English. It couldn't be in Chinese, which I'm also kind of salty about because I love you, Lay, and I'm sorry.
The second one or criteria point had to be they're just songs that we just don't turn off. That when they come on, you're they like, just stay on.
Yeah.
That's, maybe you hit repeat even. So this was really, really hard. And mine are in no particular order. I just went down a playlist in the order that I found them and then crossed them out as I went. So my first one is Candy by The Rose. You look so good. Come on, baby. Your taste is so good. Just like candy on my lips. So good. If you want me, I can take you so Oh my gosh, The Rose is one of those groups that's just vastly underappreciated. And to me, this song felt very like the 1975. And it's a cool Britpop K-pop song.
It's a road trip song.
Yeah, it's a great road trip song. This is one that you're like in a convertible with the top down, speeding down the road with this
hair
song.
Hair blowing in the wind.
Literally, that is the aesthetic that this song gives you. And The Rose is one of those groups that just never have a bad song. All of their B-sides are just as good as their title tracks. This one definitely could have been a title track, but definitely a very solid B-side. Definitely on my top five K-pop songs of all time.
My first one is Hush by Everglow.
Love Everglow.
I love Everglow, and I don't even have like a particular reason why I love Everglow. I just do. And they're new. They just debuted in January with Bon Bon Chocolat, which was also a fucking bop. It might be that the aspect that I started with them, you know, and they debuted in January and I was like, "Oh, I get to be here from their birth." But I love them so much. And
these are my children.
These are my children. And they're great. And they're really quality performers. They've been doing covers of like everyone else. They did an NCT cover and they slayed. It was so good. Everything's on YouTube. Go watch it. Funny fact about Everglow, they have the tallest girl in K-pop. Huh. She is like 5'9", which to us is not that tall, but to them is really fucking tall. And if you watch their music videos,
to me it is tall.
You notice that she doesn't wear heels. Most recently in the Adios music video, they're all wearing stiletto pump platform, you know, thigh-high latex boots. and hers are flats.
Hers are flat.
It's great. They're great. Anyway.
That's funny.
So, like I said, they're new. They've had two comebacks, you know, their debut and this first comeback with Adios. And Adios is great. And Bone Bone Chocolat, like I said, was a bop. But this B-side, it's called Hush, was so good. It's a lullaby. It's very reassuring, and it's a song that really shows their vocal talent, and I enjoy it. And I listen to it no matter what. I'll listen to it on repeat over and over again.
Just over and over. This is just that Shiny song that I think just really depicts who they are as artists. It's a very good pop song, and it kind of embodies the feeling, like that feeling of just fun. I think it goes back to like the same thing I feel about The Rose. It's a fun summer, bright pop song.
Good vibes.
Yeah, it's just got that good feel. It was hard to pick a Shiny song. I really, really liked Replay. I think Replay is one of the best debut songs for a K-pop group ever.
So much hair. So much baby.
So much hair. So much hair. Infant hair. But View had the fun video. It's one that I just constantly replay over and over and over. And the dance practice video with Minho in the sleeveless shirt and the blonde. Bless. Bless.
I support that.
So, Shiny, View, definitely top five yes. for me.
Is a hidden track from the Love Yourself era. It is a solid melancholy song, and the whole thing is topped off with Suga's verse when he's talking about how they started off and they struggled and they reached this point where they thought they just should stop, you know, the point of no return. They can't do anymore. They've done everything that they can do, and then suddenly, you know, they're goddamn worldwide phenomenon. The whole song is about fear and the fear of going back to what they were before. And he says, I don't want to cry and I don't want to rest. What does it matter if I rest even a little bit? Because we all know that this is actually a desert and it's not a sea. And that's why it's called Sea. It's about abundance that they have now and the fear that they're going to go back to it being a desert. And it's so good.
It's got to be terrifying, though.
Of course,
like being
it is.
Afraid that like you've peaked and now where do I go from here? Can I sustain the success?
Exactly. I was reading an article the other day with RM where he talks about how they never, ever, ever in a million years meant to get this popular. You know, they wanted to do well and be successful within their medium of K-pop, but they didn't think they were going to rule the whole fucking world. But he said now that we're here and they have that. They have the obligation to do that, to be good by that, to treat it with respect and do the things that only they can do because they're that popular. So like the UN speech and their, you know, violence campaign that they have going on. And just the fact
just
that
the whole Love Yourself era was such a big move.
Mm-hmm. And I really like this song because no one talks about that. And they made a whole song. And the fact that they made it hidden is just even more metaphoric and just good. Baby, I'm only here.
Shine by Pentagon. And it was hard for me to pick a Pentagon song. It really was, because I have two on my top 15 list. And I think Shine wins out because this song is going to go down in K-pop history. Despite all of the Cube drama, despite all the drama with everything that happened with Edan, this song was iconic. Mm-hmm. Whether you stan Pentagon or not, you love Shine.
It's a boppy, good, makes you smile song.
It never won an award, which was crazy to me. For being one of like the most viewed K-pop videos of last year, it never won anything, but it's so loved and it just makes you feel so good. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun to see live, even without Yeonan there to do his My Baby. They do like 17 My Babies during the last verse, and it's so cute and it's so much fun. 'Cause I'm your
I'm one of those people that I can't watch the music video while I listen to the song if I'm doing it for the first time, which makes no sense. But
if that is interesting.
Like if I watch a music video and I don't like the music video, it will affect how I feel about the song, even if the song's great. And
that's fair, I guess.
No, it's not. It's not fair.
No, it makes sense, though, because there are some weird videos out there.
The issue I had with this specific video is Vernon's fucking sweater sleeve.
Hate that sweater.
It makes no sense, and that's not fair, and I shouldn't base the whole damn perception off of his stupid sweater sleeve, but I really don't like it, and I can't do anything about it. But this song is real good because it is an introvert's dream, because all it's saying is, I want to go home. I want to go home, 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 home. I want to go home, and all I do is sit and say, that's a goddamn mood. Because all I ever want to do is go home. And it's real, it's repetitive and boppy, and it makes you smile and has good dance break. And of course, 17 is the king of dancing. So
that's true.
It's real good. And no matter what, whenever it comes on, I'm like, yeah, let's all go home right now.
Let's just go home.
Let's just go home.
Let's just go home. So my first BTS song that I ever heard was Not Today. And that one was a strong contender because the whole thing that caught my attention with that was, of course, all the underdogs of the world, Today We Fight. And I was like, oh, cool. It's an empowering song. And that's when I kind of delved into everything. And of course, I came across the OG gangsta BTS and was like, wait, what is this?
Look at that fro. RM is fro.
And I was like, okay, not a fan of that. And then, of course, I run into the I Need You. And I Need You is also an absolutely incredible song. And then I came across Spring Day, looked up the translation, and it just like hit me in the chest. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with where BTS is talking about, you know, what their responsibility is. That they have a message they have to pass on. Before I looked up the translation, of course, I was like, man, this song just feels like it has kind of that feel. Like, you know, like I'm emotional. And it starts to go on and it's like, no winter can last forever. Eventually, this is going to end. Winter will be over. Spring will come again.
And then we'll all lay on a mountain full of dirty clothes.
I don't know when they got into my house to film that music video, but I'm a little upset I'm not paid royalties.
It's fine. I mean,
I'm not afraid to die.
101 rip. I do feel guilty that I literally could not name another 101 song, and now that they're gone, there's not going to be any more. But I found this song just by accident, just going through the "you might like this" on my Spotify, and it's
really, and they were right,
and they were right, they were really right. It has a great chorus, like it is with Spring Day. Spring Breeze is the same thing. It's talking about renewal and the fact that winter is over and that breeze is coming through, and it can, everything can change with the seasons and rejuvenating and, you know, reconciling. And I think that's one part of the reason why it was one of their last songs, because they knew they were disbanding soon. The 101 was created through, you know, the Mnet Produce 101, you know, one of those weird survival shows that I don't understand. And these temporary groups that are coming up, they have a set number of days that they're allowed to, you know, be who they are. So they knew they were ending, and this is the song they put out. And I feel that was really apt and a smart move on their part. So
I heard it for the first time the other day when you put it on our playlist. Mm-hmm. I had never heard it before, and it was a good song. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very breezy is a great way to describe it. It's, you disappoint me, girl. My baby don't like it. I know you're, Abby is not a big NCT fan.
I would like to preface this with saying that my disillusion with NCT has nothing to do with the members of NCT. They're all wonderful and fabulous, and they're a great set of like 365 guys. It's fine.
One for every day of the year. You can't go wrong.
You know what? At this point, that's what it feels like. My issue with NCT solely lies with SM Entertainment, not with the group itself. Carry on.
That's fair. Okay. So anyway, part of the reason Baby Don't Like It is on my list is it kind of embodies everything that I really enjoy about K-pop. It's the combination of good rap flows with good chorus hooks with amazing vocals. Mm. Seeing it live, because again, I've had the privilege to see this live, and it's amazing. I don't want to talk about Taeyong on a Jungle Gym, but I will if I am forced to.
Go ahead. You know you want to.
It was just... it was an okay experience.
That's a lie.
It was a fantastic experience.
She screamed in my ear for a really long time.
Listen, can you blame me? You don't know why they had a Jungle Gym. You don't know why BTS had an inflatable.
I don't get it.
I don't either, but I'm going to let them do them.
That's true.
So, of course, when they were on tour, they had all of the members of 127 with them. The studio version only has Taeil, Doyoung, and Haechan doing the chorus. But of course, they had Jungwoo and Yuta and Johnny. And so it's cool because you see more vocal variation, because NCT has such a cool variation of their vocal line. They're all so talented, but they all have very uniquely different voices. Mm-hmm. And so to get that in the Baby Don't Like It, plus the raps, I love it. It's like, you know, like the early 2000s, that was a really big thing, was a Western artist would like feature a rapper on their track.
Yeah.
And like one of my favorite songs still to this day is that Nelly and Kelly Rowland song. And that was when I was in like the seventh grade. So things like that, like collaborations like that, really stand out to me. And so I think that's why I really like K-pop as well, is it's the talent of a rapper when I'm not a huge, just like solid rap music fan. Mm-hmm. Mixed with incredible vocals all in one. This song just really embodies it. And NCT has a zillion really great songs, and this is my favorite of theirs.
I don't know who Gaho is, and you probably don't know who Gaho is. I don't think Gaho knows who Gaho is. But
you cut Dio for this.
I did, and that is an important thing that you should know, And I sacrificed that beautiful man for this song. And honestly, you need to go listen to it because it's phenomenal. And he has such a great voice and such a powerful mastery of it. And the music video, to his credit, is just him wandering around in a desert. And I like those music videos sometimes that they're all one shot and they don't take away from the song. They just add an aesthetic to it. And this one he's begging, please stay here. Stay with me. At the end, it crescendos up to this high point where he just has nothing left to give and he's tried everything. And there's a big concept in Korean culture about regretting choices. Like as long as you have done everything that you can do and you put in your maximum effort, you don't have to regret it. And so that's a little bit what this song is embodying. He's doing everything he can possibly do and putting every ounce of his soul into it because he wants you to stay and he doesn't want to regret the choice that you're making. Ugh. So good.
Stab me in the heart.
Yep, right there.
Feels.
In the feels.
So yeah, so at the end of this, we'll throw out our Twitter handle and go ahead and let us know if you were able to pick your top 5 K-pop songs of mm-hmm. all time.
And because then tell us what they are.
Yeah, please let us know what they are. And man, let us know if you struggled like we did. So real fast, before, at the end of this episode, we just want to hit September comebacks because there were quite a few super fantastic ones. And then we want to talk about October comebacks, which ones we're most stoked for and all of that good stuff. Because there's a lot of those coming this way too. So preface with, I know there's a lot of comebacks we are missing in September. I know there are a lot of comebacks we will be missing in October. These are groups that we know about, pay attention to, things like that. So if we miss one and you want to talk about it, please let us know. We'll always be happy to talk about it. But my first one I want to bring up is CLC.
With Devil.
It was a cool concept. It was a cool song. Eric Nam was talking about this on his podcast, and this is what made me go back and listen to a bunch of CLC stuff because I'm not like – I like them, and I actually – Hobgoblin is on every single one of my Halloween playlists.
Of course it is.
But he pointed out that they don't really have a consistent sound, and it's very unique of them. And I didn't realize that until I went back to listen to them, and he's absolutely right. They tend to vary their sound and vary their videos and things like that. And I just think that's super cool. So I thought Devil was a really good comeback.
CLC is a group of badass women.
Yup.
And while I don't necessarily like Hobgoblin specifically, I love Me and I love No. And they're all one syllable. And I love Black Dress. And they are all just kick ass. And I really like Devil. It's not quite as like dark or hard as the other ones are. It's a little bit boppy. But if you watch the music video, it's about them murdering each other. And you know, what's better than a little murder? So
I mean, Ask Red Velvet, that was – they've had two videos where – one video where they murdered each other.
G-Idle did it. CLC.
Card has murder in one of theirs.
Of course, there's murder in all of them. Let's just be honest.
Murder. Huh.
Murder. The next one in September that came out was 17.
Could go on for hours about this video.
Yes, and come we back. Could.
But quick points, go.
Quick points. Fear was phenomenal. People didn't like it. I think they're wrong. I like this dark 17. I like this dark-haired woozy. It makes me feel things that I shouldn't feel. And I liked the whole album. One, because it was super long. The album, you know, I'm not much for the mini albums. I don't like that trend, but this album was super long, and it has a song called It Lie Again, which is my favorite, and will probably make it into my top whatever at some point in my life, because I turn to it every single time. So good.
I don't understand why people didn't like it. I don't know if they just wanted 17 to do the same old 17 thing, but for me, this killed it, like, song-wise, killed it visually with the aesthetics of the video, the use of the red filter with the blood, and all of the concepts they had just basically alluding to death and things like that. You know, I'm very interested to see where 17 goes from here. Mm. And so I thought this was a killer comeback, no pun intended.
Also more murder, in case anyone was wondering.
Murder. Yes. 3YE, you've listened to them, right?
Mm-hmm. If you are having some major like Blackpink withdrawal, I would recommend going and listening to 3YE and their new comeback. They're also new. They debuted back in May, I believe. And they are really hard kick-ass rappers. There's only three of them, 3YE, and two rappers and one vocalist. And so they just go hard back and forth and trading. And then their vocalist, I don't know any of their names. I just watched their most recent. And it's they're in a prison, you know, more murder. It's fine. And they're just, they have real strong Blackpink vibes. And not to say if you need something to tide you over, but you should stan them as well. You should go listen to their newest comeback.
So, and then we have Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher!
Dreamcatcher is such an underrated group. This video was super cool. You told me this was an OST, right?
Mm-hmm. For a video game called The King's Raid.
So, super cool concept. Very different. I thought Dreamcatcher was going out of their normal box, and they started out with a ballad, and I was like, oh, okay. And then it goes into their rock, you know, stuff that they do, but it flows so well, and it's a cool song. The visuals of the video, or the video, are super cool. I almost said of the video game. I haven't played the game, but
it's a mobile game.
There's you know, girls dressed dark, there's girls dressed light, there's girls pointing swords at each other. It's super cool. The song flows very well. Everything they do sounds like an anime intro, and yep. I live for it.
I do too. Now, our point of contention for September.
I'm so excited. K-Tiger Zero. I'm so excited to talk about K-Tiger Zero.
K-Tiger Zero. I was super excited for this before they debuted.
I was like, oh, still excited
hell yeah,
for this.
Another co-ed group. I love the concept of co-ed groups. They're a 12-piece co-ed group, and what did you call it?
They're a Taekwon dance group. Which is not a thing made up for BTS World, apparently, like I thought it was.
I don't know.
Their concept is
they all have their bachelor's in Taekwondo from universities in Korea.
So super cool, right? And they are rappers and singers, and in their choreography, they incorporate Taekwondo.
Right.
And they debuted with three videos. The first one was just a short little, like, breezy ballad.
Yeah.
The second one was
summer vibes.
Very, right? Very summer vibes.
I'm
it was
on a boat.
Beach song.
They were
it
on a
was
boat.
Super light. The choreography was great.
They were doing
it was
flips
beautiful.
And shit.
Okay, so the second song was called Now, and that was, I freaking loved it. I thought that it was very well done. I thought the choreography was really, really nice with the Taekwondo in it. I think it killed it. Now, where we completely disagree
is the third.
The title track, which is called Sidekick.
And how aptly named for Taekwondo.
And so the difference that Abby and I have with this song is the mixing of the music. It's very EDM heavy, very musically layered over the vocals.
What she means by that is that the bass washes out the main vocal lyrics, which to me is a complete why? Why for? It's a song. Why are you going to mix it to where the people can't hear the lyrics that he's singing? Like, and in the music video, you can see his mouth moving, but you cannot hear the words because it was mixed poorly. And that might just be the producer in my brain, but
I also, I think it was an intentional move. I think if your group is a Taekwon dance focus, like your focus of your group is to incorporate Taekwondo with your moves, you're going to have a track that you're not going to necessarily want to listen to unless you're like going out clubbing. But like when you want to watch videos, it's something that is very visually stimulating. So sure. The video is that. The video for this song has the focus being the dancing. And the focus being this combination of martial arts and choreography. And you can tell, for me personally, you can tell this song was written for a visual performance. This sure. song is not necessarily a, I'm just going to sit and listen to K-Tiger Zero today. This song is a very visual performance. So I personally think that it was intentionally layered like this. So that's my argument for the last song of K-Tiger Zero being a fucking bop.
I mean... They are good, and I'm excited for what else they're gonna do. I still really don't like that song. Anyway, but you know what song I do fucking like?
Is it Cards? Is it Cards? Hell yeah.
It's Dumb Liddy.
Everyone talked so much shit on this song before it came out. And Matthew Kim is my best friend. He just doesn't know it. And I am so proud of Card for this song. Because it goes back to the whole co-ed groups getting shit on a lot thing.
They do get shit on a lot.
And Card just kind of doesn't give a shit.
And I am proud of them for it.
Yeah, Card just does the damn thing. And
it's usually really good.
Yeah.
I haven't found a Card song that I didn't like.
Right. And they've done so many different concepts that they nailed every single one. You have your dance club songs. You have your summer vibe songs. You have your murder songs. You have your ballads. And the last two, this one and Bomb Bomb, have been very, you know, very different in the aspect of they're way more dance track than... Mm-hmm. But they also have great vocals. They nail it with the choreography. The fact that there are only four of them and they can still have great choreography presence is fantastic.
Also, Card, if nobody noticed, we endorse murder over here at the
Cow. Apparently.
We do. So.
Murder.
Murder.
And if you haven't seen the video that Card has, it's called You and Me. Just go watch it. It's phenomenal. And
there's murder.
There's murder. But Card's comeback, I'm so solid. Proud of it's my solid. Babes.
Twice.
Came back.
And so I will admit, Feel Special is not as great as Fancy.
I don't know that it wasn't as great. It was just never, it wasn't as catchy.
That's right. It wasn't as catchy. But you know what I endorse?
What do you endorse?
All of Twice being lesbians. I don't know if that is canon or not, but I'm for it. They are queens. They can do whatever they want, including falling in love with each other in their music videos.
I mean, that's the vibe it definitely gives off.
And that's kind of the vibe Twice has always given off.
You right. Do we remember the What Is Love video?
Yep.
So it's interesting, but I thought the song was cute. The choreography was very sexy for being a like lovey-dovey song. Mm-hmm. And that threw me off a little bit. But it was definitely super good. It wasn't a bad comeback. It just was not as attention-grabbing to me personally as Fancy was.
As Fancy. And Fancy had to grow on me, too.
Me, too.
I didn't want to like it, but then now I do.
Dance the Night Away and What Is Love kind of like immediately grabbed me. Mm-hmm. And Fancy and Feel Special was good, but like I said, they both had to kind of be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll listen to it.
Right.
So, and then on the same day that Twice came back, Jessie debuted with P Nation. I guess, is it debuting or coming back? Whatever it is, it was her first.
I would say it's debuting.
Yeah, because she kind of got to do her own thing.
Under a new label, yeah.
And if this is what Psy is doing with Jessie, I'm stoked to see what he does with Hyuna and Edon as well. This was not my cup of tea as far as a song goes, but it wasn't. But she killed it. She absolutely killed it. She said, I'm going to be badass and there's nothing you can do about it.
I think it's not so much what Psy has done with her. I think it's so much as what he was like, okay, cool. Do whatever the fuck you want. Like, I think that's what he was looking for when he, you know, acquired her and Hyuna and Edon. He was just like, they have the talent. They've just been restricted. So I'm lifting all of these restrictions. Let's see what you got. And I think Jessie was like, dude, let's got this. Go. And she went hard. Like you said, it's not my cup of tea. The really heavy rap that she's got going on. But aesthetically, it's great. She's staying on the chapel. Like, she is... elevated. She is ascended. She can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Yes, she can. Next we have
Act On Musician.
I'm a huge fan of them. I really am. This was a little too soft for me. I think it's gonna go on my bedtime playlist. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Really, really, really soft.
For those of you who don't know, Act On Musician is a brother-sister duo who won a singing competition. And they released like really awesome, fun, boppy songs. Like one of them is called Dinosaur, and it's,
yes.
it's a solid, like fun.
It's just so much fun.
But at the same time, he had to fulfill his compulsory service and go into the military for 2 years. And so that left her hanging. And YG
did nothing with her.
Literally would not let her do anything.
Ridiculous. And then One Us came back.
One Us came back.
Oh my gosh. I was not
lit.
Lit. I was not ready because One Us has that very rock vibe. Twilight and Valkyrie were both very, very rock vibe. This one was a little more, this one was, had a little more hip hop mix in with the rock. And I liked it a lot.
It was very reminiscent of Idol.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And a yeah. lot of people are saying that very negatively. But oh. I on Twitter are saying that like One Us copied BTS, but no one.
Oh,
like,
come on.
It's the same thing as when Don't Need Your Love apparently copied Boy With Love, and everyone is always going to say someone is copying someone. It's really hard not to in the music industry, first of all.
I don't agree with them saying that they copied Idol because it's Korean culture.
Right.
That's being highlighted there, and they're all Korean.
Very traditional sounding. Like it had the traditional aspects of the music in it. And right. I thought that was super cool, but apparently only BTS is allowed to do that. So,
I mean, the thing is that they're in like, they have like Hanbok style dresses and they're in building temple and they've got the drums, and that's all things that BTS had in Idol. But they also had other shit in Idol, if they don't remember. So,
well, and it's, I don't understand what the issue is with embracing your culture. The same thing happened when EXO did the closing ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the traditional dress with the traditional, you know, dance with the traditional music. And everybody was like, well, Jimin did it first. And it's like, okay, can people embrace their culture? Mm. Like, can you let people just embrace their culture?
Can you let them live?
And let them, express who they are. It's fine. Really, it's fine. Regardless, 1S's comeback was as fitting as the title was. It was lit. I'm for it.
It was lit.
It was so good. If you don't stand 1S, this was their third comeback this year, and you're just missing the fuck out. Because Abby sent me Valkyrie.
I did.
And
that was my fault.
I don't think I've stopped listening to that song since she sent it to me. I think that Valkyrie has just been on repeat nonstop since I heard. It's like in the background of my other songs just because Valkyrie is such a good song. But 1S definitely deserves the hype up and the love because they're so good. Lit was so good. And then I actually forgot to write one down on the list before. A song that I forgot that I really want to hear just super fast before we go into October comebacks. Mm-hmm. And that is Chicken Noodle Soup.
Oh.
You sounded so upset about that.
Nope. I love J-Hope. I love J-Hope.
Is that where you're going to leave your opinion?
Yep. And J-Hope can do no wrong, so...
I thought it was great. One thing that my friend just said, and I talked about, he just looks like he's having the time of his life.
Yes, he is. Looks... He's having fun. And this weird English, Korean, Spanish song is real interesting.
Well, it's a sampled song from 2009. Mm-hmm. It was a very popular dance. Like, I remember, like, that was my senior year of high school. So I remember I just dated myself. I remember people doing this. Like, I remember this song playing at, like, my prom. And so, Chicken Noodle Soup was a thing. And so everybody was like, oh, my God, it's going to be Chicken Noodle Soup. And I was like, how do y'all not know what this song is? Beyond that, this is a song that J-Hope first learned how to dance to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's why he chose to sample this song. And the whole song translated is about loving where you're from. So it's J-Hope talking about loving where he's from in Korea. It's Becky J talking about loving where she's from with her Latin culture. And so it's a super cool concept of it, I think. And it was just so much fun. It really was. I think they had a blast with it. You could tell he was so happy. And with him as one of my alts, seeing J-Hope that happy just makes me so happy.
You love the 90s. Early 2000s.
Do.
And I do not. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my shit.
That's fair. That's fair. It doesn't. Not everything has to be your shit.
You're right. Not everything. Because then I'd have a lot of shit.
You would. Full you of would. Shit. And so, but I just had to. I had to throw chicken noodle soup on there for my J Hope.
For October, though, since we're moving into that spooky season,
the spook.
Tomorrow, the first, we have Chen come back with his second.
It's already out.
Well, in Korea.
In Korea, but the video is fucking adorable. The whole song is just like his title track is just about falling in love with someone. What are we going to do about tonight? Should we chase the galaxies together? And the whole video is just a couple falling in love. And
who wouldn't fall in love with Chen?
I know. He's not even the main guy in the video. And freaking he just.
Zhang Dae. I bet Zhang Dae hugs are the best.
So Chen's first, like this already, like the first video, the title track of it, if, like go watch it. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. He did so well with it.
Speaking of Chen and members of EXO.
Transitions.
We segues. Have the very controversial Super M coming back on the 4th.
I just want to touch with Super M just super fast. Super fast for Super M. If you're one of those assholes who trended disband Super M to the point they had to address it in an interview.
What?
Yeah, you fucking suck. I don't care how much you disagree with it. I have my issues with it, but at the same time, I'm going to support them because I adore every single one of the members. And Taeyong is my ult. I don't care what issues you have with it. You made them say, we just see it as a challenge now. Like, it's not something they are probably looking forward to anymore because members of their own fandoms are protesting for them to disband. I don't give a shit if you want an EXO comeback instead of a Super M comeback. Super M is happening. You don't get to trend a hashtag to make them feel like shit. I'm off my soapbox. I'm excited for Super M despite my issues with it. I'm excited for it. I'm not excited that the song is called Jopping.
All right. I have beef with things that are named that aren't real words. I'm looking at you, Red Velvet. I'm looking at you, SM Entertainment.
So what Jopping the fuck? Is apparently a combination of jiving and bopping.
No, it's not.
So that is what the title track is going to be. Mm. I wish SM would let Taeyong and Mark Lee sleep.
Nope. No sleep for anyone.
Those men have not stopped in over a year and a half at this point.
Yeah, every single comeback.
I desperately worry about them and their health. But we'll see what happens with Super M, I guess.
We'll see. Okay, on the 4th.
I'm off my Super M soapbox.
All right. Real quick, we have AB6, ATs, and Stray Kids all coming back.
Yeah, Stray Kids just dropped theirs, I think, this morning.
That's a solid dude rookie lineup coming out in October. The 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. So,
boom, boom, boom. Back to back to back. Buckle up.
We have Ladies Code coming out.
I love Ashley Choi. I think she's adorable. And I'm excited to see what Ladies Code has in store.
Cool. So. Super Junior's coming back again.
Again? For their 9th full album.
Their 9th full album. Talk about fucking OGs.
Right.
Yeah, they have like all of the controversies too, which makes it even better/worse.
Yeah, we'll let you decide on that one.
Yeah.
Inflying and Newest comeback, the 15th and 21st. This is Inflying's first comeback since some of the Burning Sun controversy and losing a member. So I'm interested to see what they do with that. And then Day 6 just announced that they are having a comeback this month as well. I find it interesting that they're dropping a comeback right after their tour. And so that'll be interesting as well. And
I'm really excited for the rumors that Day 6 is collaborating with 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yes.
Because not only is that a good band on band, but it's also got 6 and then you got 5. And it's just smart.
And it's just smart math-wise.
Yes.
And then rumor has it TXT and Monsta X are both coming back. And then apparently the internet is circulating that BTS is having a comeback in October.
Okay.
I saw something that said it was like Twitter freaking out because BTS is having a comeback in October. And it said, BTS, what? BTS is having a comeback in October? And then it said, BTS, wait, I'm BTS.
Yep. I did see something for Jungkook maybe dropping a mixtape, but I don't know how like viable that is.
So it'll be interesting to see what's coming out. So
yeah.
But apparently there are things happening. And so that's what we've got to look forward to in October. I'm sure someone else will throw something else on us. Along with Stray Kids comeback, they announced that in November they are doing a world tour while they were come back to America.
Oh, shit.
I'm very interested to see what cities they choose to hit then.
You know it's not going to be anywhere near you, that's for sure.
So thank you guys so much for listening to the first episode of K-Pop Parade. You can find us on Twitter, and our @ is going to be K-Pop Parade. It's K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E. I don't care what Paisley says. It's not K-Pop Parade. It's K-Pop Parade.
K-Pop Parade.
And so, because we're French. And so,
Madame de Pompadour.
I am not French. I'm not French.
We know you're not friends.
And so, again, my name is Trinity.
My name is Abby.
And we hope that you'll join us for a few more episodes in the future.
Yes. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.